Chapter 4, we are continuing to work our way through this little section here that exhorts us and instructs us in the work of ministry. So if you're physically able, I'll ask you to stand one more time. Let's honor God as I read these verses in your hearing, and then we're going to ask God to help us as we unpack them together. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 12 and 13. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And may God help us as we'll end right there. Lord, we bow together. Would you help us understand thoroughly what you have left for us here? Holy Spirit, would you meet us in the Scriptures? Open our hearts so that we might know the truth and so that the truth truly would come and set us free. Be free here today, Lord, to instruct, to lead us in all righteousness. We ask this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. Our subject for today is ministry with purpose. Ministry with purpose. It's been a little while since we were together, and so I want to make sure we're all on the same page. You might remember what we're looking at here is that the work of ministry was lacking. It was going deficient at Ephesus. And so Paul, being concerned about that, he's writing to them. And you might remember what he said here. He gives some priorities. Basically, what Paul has said here is that you must be sure about the call of God to salvation before you get involved in ministry. Be sure that you're saved, and then be sure that God has called you to ministry. Secondly, what we saw is that there needs to be the character of God needs to be involved before you begin the work of ministry. Make sure that the Spirit of God is working in you. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God, if you're talking about doing the work of God when the devil and all of all this world system, everything is against you, my friend, you can't survive. You cannot survive. We are called soldiers for a reason. This is real warfare.
Yes, it is.
The church today has made ministry some kind of little flighty, cutesy. This is warfare. The souls of people is at stake. And it's time for us to get serious about the work. The real work that needs to be done, right? And not the titles that we want. And then we saw that the culmination of all of this is that we see the unity in God. We got unity in God, and God brings that unity to us, right? God never asked the church to create unity. God creates the unity. He calls upon us to what? Maintain it. He's already created it. We've been called to one in Christ. Everybody in here that's a Christian got saved the same way. Saved the same way. I don't care what your education is or your height or any of that. Where you live, if you are saved, you came the same way I did.
Amen.
He already made us one. So he says, you now work hard to what? Maintain it. Yes? And so that unity God has given us, and we just got to work hard to keep it. Christ descended from heaven with a purpose, and he ascended with a purpose. And so Paul calls upon us now for unity and maturity. So that's where we are. We've spent weeks working through this. And today, then I really want to start talking about the ministry that we're to be engaged in. The ministry is everybody. Listen, everyone. If you are engaged in any ministry for the Lord, I mean, it's real ministry that he gave you, there's purpose for it. Significant. So ministry has purpose. And I'm not going to dwell on this a lot today, but I want to work through these fundamental principles Paul lays out in these three verses. We're going to look at the role of what he calls, I listed it out there, shepherds/teachers, because it's one, I don't want to get too technical, it's one definite article, right? You got the apostles, the prophets, right? It's one definite article before pastors and teachers. And so I really believe that it might be translated teaching pastors. Or so when we say pastors and teachers, it's not necessarily two different groups, okay? But pastors must be able to teach. The Bible says that that is a requirement. A pastor must be able to teach, right? Yes. So that's the reason I listed it out there as shepherds or pastors, teacher, right? You understand what I got there? And then we're going to look at the role of saints, and then finally the goal of the church, all right? And we'll be done. Everybody be happy. Everybody happy? Amen. Let's be happy as we start. You may be mad along the way, but here's the way I want to do it. I want to start happy, then you can kind of decide what you are in the middle, and then I want to end, all right? And hopefully we'll end happy. Amen. Yeah? Amen. Well, let me do it the other way. I want to start full of joy, and along the way, if you start feeling your joy getting quenched, yes, stir it up again, because I want to end with joy. All right, too, okay? We agree on that?
Amen.
I see the joy already. All right, let's start right there with that joy. So let's dive in. First of all, then, the role of teaching pastors or pastors and teachers. What is it? I need to make one comment. Again, I don't want to get too technical today. You know, that list starts out with apostles and prophets, right? And I know there are a lot of people with titles today, but the Bible is clear that the apostles and prophets were necessary for the foundation of the church.
Amen.
All right? Ephesians, just for those of you who have never heard this before, Ephesians chapter 2. I'll start with 19. Verse 20 is the particular verse. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And then you look at verse 20. Built on the foundation, you see that? Of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. So the foundation has already been built. That was the purpose of the apostles and the prophets. They laid the foundation. They did the hard work. They were the ones that went in and plowed the ground, went to places where they knew they were going to be rejected. Jesus told them they were going to be rejected. They weren't going to be received. But think of the church. The church has moved into all kinds. He said, you will be witness of me, what? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in the uttermost parts of the world. And these apostles and prophets were willing to go, and they did it, even though they know they were facing danger and many times death.
Amen.
They laid the foundation because, and again, their ministry had purpose. And the purpose meant for many of them, can you imagine Paul having sacrificed all of his life? Paul ends up his life in prison, ready for his head to be cut off. You see? But he did it for purpose. It was for purpose. So anyway, the apostles and prophets are there for the foundation. And I believe this is true with the evangelists as well. And I really don't have time to break all that down today. The people that are referred to as evangelists nowadays, you really need to go back and look at what the New Testament evangelist really is. Not just to get a title behind your name. Go look at the work. And so this, by the time you get to the church having been fully established, there's two offices that the Holy Spirit says that are to be the offices that lead the church. Yes? 1 Timothy is very clear. What, pastors and what? Deacons. Okay? So you see, when you got the essentials laid, then you got these leaders here then that are to carry on the work. You understand? Now, I don't have time to break all that down, but hopefully you will see that we shouldn't frivolously start just throwing around titles and taking on work that God hadn't given you to do. Because when you know you're doing what God has called you to do, then there's purpose and you can have real joy whether people agree with you or not, whether people cooperate with you or not. You understand what I'm saying? The purpose is that I'm serving the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the what? The work, the labor of the Lord, because your labor in Christ is what? Not in vain. Never. Okay. So that's, when we talk about the what that the pastor, the teacher is to do, it's clearly to equip the saints. And you got verse 11, go back to verse 11 there. You see verse 11 and 12? And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints. And so that word, katatismos, that word means to provide someone equipment, all right? To provide them training or discipline for a task. And so the teaching pastor or the teaching shepherds, the job is to give the saints the equipment necessary for doing the work. I mean, that's really practical, isn't it? That God says, I'm going to give these men to equip you to do the job that needs to be done. Now, all of us, we see that throughout our society. You go on a job, you want somebody to help you. You go on a job cold turkey, you want somebody to train you, to give you what I need to do my job. All of us have been on jobs where you didn't have proper equipment or training. Anybody experienced that?
Amen.
That is the most difficult situation. And God doesn't want that in the church. That's the reason he has such high standards for those who will be teaching pastors or pastors that are going to teach. Yes?
Amen.
Think of it. God lists out the requirements. Why? Because he wants to make sure that you get equipped. So, that's the job. How is it to be done? I want you to think about this. The word shepherd in and of itself emphasizes care. So a teaching pastor is to, first of all, care for you. Right? Care. Demonstrate care. I tell you this all the time, have you been in a class or listened to a sermon that you felt like was just sloppy? You just felt like the person didn't spend the time necessary, right? So when you have to think about, you need to care for me enough to spend the time. I think about a child. A mother that's going to prepare a meal for their child, and you're not going to spend the time necessary to give them anything nutritious. That child can sit down there and determine, right? Now, I'm not saying that the child's the best judge. I know growing up myself, I had some good food set in front of me. Well, as a child, you don't necessarily know where it's good. But when a parent loves a child, they want to spend the time, right, giving them food that's nurturing, that will actually be good for them. So that's the high idea of a shepherd. Teaching then emphasizes instruction. So how is it done? The shepherd's job is done by caring for you and instructing you, all right? These men must be devoted to prayer and ministry of the word. Most of you would know that section in Acts 6 there, where you remember the challenge came up with the widows that weren't being fed, right? You remember that? And the whole issue was that those teaching leaders did not want to be drawn away from the what? The ministry of what? The prayer and ministry of the word. And so that's the whole emphasis for teaching pastors, is prayer and ministry of the word. Prayer and ministry of the word. And I tell you this, effective teaching is authoritative. Now, I want you to just listen to me and then I want you to think about it. It's authoritative, and not because I talk loud. That isn't what makes it authoritative. I talk loud because I'm just a loud person. But that doesn't make it authoritative. Biblical and effective teaching is authoritative, it's challenging, and it's repetitive. What do you mean by that, Brother Willie? I mean this. You remember in 2 Timothy 2, Paul writing to young Timothy said, be diligent that you would be prepared, a workman, right, that's not ashamed, who knows how to what? Rightly handle the word of truth, right? And so it's authoritative not because of me, but when I give you properly what God has given, that makes it authoritative. Why? Not because I said it, but because God said it, right? And then it's challenging. If I handle the word of God properly, you're not going to be happy with every sermon. You should. How many children got spanked and walked away laughing? I mean, I'm talking about a real spanking, right? Because a part of training a child involves some times when they're not going to be happy,
right?
So you shouldn't come to church. That's something wrong if you come to church and every teaching, every sermon, you walk away just happy. Right? It's profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction and training. If you're going to be reproved, there's something that's got to make you start thinking about it. Amen. Is that my job, and any pastor's job, is to challenge you. I want to be authoritative in what I say so that I shouldn't be giving you some Whitmoreism. If you get some Whitmoreism, then you need to challenge me. You need to be reproving me. If you know that I'm giving you something that's not biblical, then you need to, the Bible talks about that. You need to come to me because I veered off somewhere. You understand? That's how we mutually help each other. So that's the role of the teaching pastor, the pastor teacher. The role of the saint. Let's look at that real quick. The role of the saint, basically, as we see here, you're back at verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. There it is. It's simple, right? The work of ministry is the role of the saint. The work of ministry means that God has specific work or specific ways or specific means for saints to serve. Work emphasizes what? Activity. God did not call any trophy Christians. Some of you, you may feel like you're the best gift to God. And I wonder if you're saved. If you feel like you are the best gift to God, then I really don't think you're saved. Anybody that comes to Christ has to come what? With a broken, what? A broken spirit, a contrite heart. You have to come knowing that I'm needy. What did Isaiah say? I'm undone. I'm not the best gift to Christ. Christ is what? The best gift to me. And whatever he says, that's what I want to do. Yes? So the work emphasizes activity. Ministry emphasizes the way to serve. And so I grew up in a Baptist church, and I'm not impugning Baptist church at all, but I grew up in a Baptist church, and I'm sure there are others. I haven't been a part of another denomination. But those of you who grew up in the Baptist tradition, you know the typical thing is to what? Set out a chair, let people come and sit in it. Whether they're a new Christian or a Christian coming by letter or by profession, the first thing that you do as soon as you get done with them is say, we got to find somewhere for you to go to work. Isn't that typical tradition? And what I'm saying is that that's not the idea here. The idea here is that I want to know what Christ wants me to do. Yes? And so the work emphasizes activity. The ministry emphasizes the fact that there's a way to serve. How is that to be done, my brother, my sister? Turn to Acts chapter 2, one verse, and we'll look at how it's to be done real quick. Acts chapter, most of you are going to know this verse. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. As soon as I read it, you're going to know exactly what it is. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This is how it's to be done. Saints must devote yourselves to obey biblical teaching. A part of the problem with our little congregation is that we've been studying the Word of God so long, you know it. And that can become tempting and very dangerous because you know the Word of God. The issue is to obey it, right? Amen. Not just to know it, but to obey. So you must be devoted to obeying biblical teaching. I appreciate particularly Pastor Perry's passion this morning when he talks about sharing. This is something that has to begin to actually become a part of the fabric of our life. Genuinely sharing your faith, your life rather, genuinely sharing your life with others. In other words, If you're going to share with someone, you got to love them. You got to love them enough to forgive them. If you think that you're going to move through life and nobody offends you, nobody hurts you, then that's naive. That naivety won't take you very far as a Christian. You're going to have to forgive people as a Christian. You're going to have to forgive people for hurting you deeply, yes? So a part of sharing your life with others is sharing them in such a way that you can love and forgive them, encourage them. You've got to be willing to genuinely participate in the church ordinances, all right? The ordinances of God are given for us to participate in. And then lastly, from 42, you've got to faithfully participate in corporate prayer. Corporate prayer is designed for us to learn to grow together. Christians learn to love God and people by using their spiritual gifts. And I tell you, the results of that is amazing. You're still in Acts 42? Listen to this. After they had devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers, look at verse 43. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. By the way, this is the reason when Brother Perry was reading this text this morning, I was so thrilled by that. Is because what God is showing, he's confirming, this is what I want the life of the church to be, right? They were selling their possessions and distributing them in 46, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who should be are being saved. You see? That's the amazing result, saints, when you commit yourself to do the work of the ministry and stop waiting for somebody else to do it. Yes? That's the result. That's the result. And then lastly, the goal of the church, again, is very basic and very simple as it's laid out there for us. Can you go back to verse 12? Ephesians 4:12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And then verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's the goal? Basically, to build up. That word, okedome, means the process of building or construction. Every member of the body of Christ must be involved in the building up of the construction of other members' lives. A part of the problem with us in the church in America is we are so accustomed to being independent. I got my house, you get yours. I got my car, you get yours. I got my education, you get yours. As a matter of fact, we're even here. I got my seat, you get in your seat. This is my seat. And I grew up in churches where families had pews. You do not sit on somebody else's pew. Right? Well, I mean, we bring that same kind of independent thinking into the church. And that's not the way God intended it. So it's the building up. We have to be concerned about building up others. Can you turn to that one verse there, Acts 20? I want you to see the verse before I comment on it. Acts 20 and verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word of God is what we depend upon to build us up. Amen. It's not telling somebody you're going to be all right. How do you know that? Give them truth. Right? Not just a saying from the world. Give them truth. Truth is what builds people up. Amen. Now, it needs to be truth given what? With love, but it's still truth. The truth is what people need to build them up. And so every member of TCC needs to be committed to knowing the Word of God so you can build somebody else up. First of all, if you know the Word of God, it's going to build you up. And now you're actually ready to go help build someone else up. Think of having somebody coming to build you a house that's never built houses. If you don't know anything about building houses, then you cannot go build somebody else a house. If you haven't been built up yourself as a Christian, you can't go help build somebody else up. If you don't spend time in the Word of God, how are you going to counsel someone else? Right? Someone says, I know you're a Christian, and I'm really struggling here. Think of how tragic that is for you to give them some bad advice. I mean, they're depending upon you as a Christian to know what to say. We have got to take ownership of the fact that we need to be built up. We need to grow, my brother, my sister. You cannot just count on me knowing the Word of God. That is not what God intended. The Bereans were known themselves for studying the Word of God, right? If people know anything about us, now here's the problem. Knowing the Word of God is not just for you to be smart. I'm talking about knowing how to apply it. And people know you know how to apply it because they see you doing it what? In your own life. Yes? See, now this is where you get mad at me. But the fact is, it needs to be obvious that you know the Scriptures because you do it in your own life. Before you tell me what to do, I need to see that you are doing it yourself. One of the most amazing things is for parents to tell a child that I don't ever want to see you smoke while they sitting there. You ever seen that? I mean, both my parents smoked. And my parents used to, believe it or not, my parents used to ask me to light their cigarettes. Now I never was cool enough to be smoking. But my point is, you see the oxymoron there. If you want the child not to smoke, then what? You need to show them, model that before them. I don't ever want to hear you cussing. You cussing them upside one down and down the inside the other. You see the difference there? And so the same thing is that if you're going to help me, then you need to show me that you take the Word of God serious yourself. The Word of God has built you up. Now, see, I know you're getting mad at me now. That's all right. I can handle it. I know I'm old, but I can handle it. And only because the Lord is holding me up, all right? So I'm encouraging you, take ownership of this. Don't assume that this is just my job. My job is to equip you to actually do this. Yeah? So the goal of the church is building up, and then finally, the goal of the church is maturity. And what I want to say to you is that the signs of maturity are simply this. Believers unified in the essentials of the faith. And we see that as Ephesians is laid out here, and I'm saying this to Trinity Community Church. One of the signs that we are becoming mature is that we will be unified in our essentials. Now, there's lots of things that we don't have to agree on, but in the essentials of the faith, we have to be together. That's unity, right? Another sign of maturity is that believers have experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ through relationship. You know Jesus Christ not because you know about him. Jesus Christ is not just my friend. Jesus Christ is your friend. Jesus Christ is not just my Lord. He's your Lord. You don't need my testimony. Pastor Perry gave his testimony today. Now that encourages us, but you need to have your own testimony. Right? Your own. If you know Jesus, you got a testimony of your own. Amen. I know what Jesus brought me from.
Amen.
What's the song? You don't know what he's done for me?
Amen.
A part of the problem, you remember the woman with the alabaster vial of oil there in the scriptures? She's all that ridicule because she was coming to Christ and with the tears and pouring out that expensive oil on his feet. And there's a wonderful song. You know there's a song being written about that, right? You don't know the cost of my praise. I'm saying to you that every Christian here, you need to have your own experience with Jesus. And don't let it stop because you're saved. You need to be growing in that. You need to be growing in your experience with Jesus what? Every day. Every day. Every day. All right, well, you've been patient. That's what I wanted to share with you. Those experiences of test and trial ought to help you to grow. And so as we conclude, this is these are my thoughts. God intends for every Christian to be engaged in meaningful ministry. All godly ministry must have a godly purpose. If God gave you the ministry, then God has a purpose for it. The role of shepherd teachers or teaching pastors is to give saints the equipment necessary for ministry. The role of the saints, then, is to do the work of ministry that God has designed for you and for the purpose that He's ordained. The work, you should not be satisfied until you find out what God wants you to do and to trust God that He has a purpose for it. Yes? The last thing is that the goal of the church is simply the building up of saints who learn to use and obey the word of God, leading to maturity. Amen. And if you're not a Christian, I just want to appeal to you to consider what a great privilege it is to come to know the author of life. What a great privilege it is to have absolute certainty about your future. If you're not a Christian, I'm saying to you today, you can come to Christ and have no more questions about your future. You can come to Christ and know, regardless of what happens to you in this life, you know where you're going. You can come to Christ and know that your past has been covered. Everything you've done can be covered. You can come to Christ and know that all of your future is also covered. You can come to Christ and know that He has a plan for your life today. Amen. If you have never, never, never experienced the love of Christ, I'm telling you, come to Him today. You'll never. The love of Christ is so extraordinary that it will change you forever.
Amen.
Come to Christ. Come to Him. He'll love you with an everlasting love that you will never, never, never regret. Lord, I want to thank You for these few minutes that we had together. And I want to ask You to take these feeble words of mine and help someone here to make a real application of it. I pray that Your work would be thorough and that You would help us to know You were here present with us today. Do it for Your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow together for just a minute, and then we'll see if there are any comments before we...